Hi there, and welcome to Polyamory Uncensored, a podcast where we, your hosts, Lindsay Miller
and Katie Williams,
interview a poly person each episode, and we try to answer the five things of journalism. Who, what, when, where, and why, as it pertains to our poly lives. You're listening to episode 54 of Polyamory Uncensored. Today, we're doing another special episode, doing a live commentary on Netflix's Easy. This one is season 2, episode 2, which portrays a couple in the beginning of their poly journey. You can watch along with us, or you can watch the episode and then listen to us, or do both. And stay tuned, because we'll be doing more live commentary on these episodes following this particular poly couple.
We hope that you enjoy Hollywood's take on the good, the bad, the ugly, and the just plain complicated truths about our poly lives.
All right, so we're going to do a countdown to start this episode so that you can sync with us. Again, we're on season 2, episode 2, and both of us are paused at 1 second in, so we see the Netflix logo right now. So if we want to count down, 3, 2, 1, play.
All right. It's always unnerving because it's silent during that part.
So marriage therapy, right?
Right.
Okay. I feel like this is going to be such a, an important part of the process. Very, very adult sort of thing to do.
Very adult. They're adulting.
It's just so abstract at this point. I think that's actually a common like misconception with new poly couples, is that what they're doing, being open, is more enlightened, more adult, more just better in every single way. And, you know, it's hard to argue that like having better communication isn't better. It obviously is great. But being poly doesn't mean you have good communication skills. Being poly doesn't mean you have a good relationship, you know, like, yeah, it's.
Being poly isn't an inherently superior choice for all people.
Exactly, yeah. I also just feel like adding more people to a broken marriage, or even just a struggling marriage, often end in, you know, tears and heartbreak.
So if they've had all this therapy and they're ready to go, how can they not have had this conversation about are there rules or not?
And he seems so unsure, and she's just like, it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Now that yard is totally plausible as an act.
Yard of people with kids, yeah. Yep. One of the cool things about this show is that, like, the fact that he's an actor comes into multiple other episodes. So other people in his acting group, people that are
or used to be in his acting group, they have their own episodes, and sometimes like they're in the background, him and oh gosh, what are their names? I've already forgotten.
Kyle?
Yeah, Kyle and his wife Andy. They'll be like in the at the same bar as the other people in the story.
Oh, that's funny.
It's so flirty.
I know, right?
It's an interesting dynamic when people who know you're married or know you're partnered are flirting with you and they don't know you're open. And then when they find out and they're like, oh, I don't know if I like that, you know, like, I mean, sometimes I've had that as an experience where like, oh, so it's ethical. Well, that's not as fun.
You kind of love that they're playing Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, I do love that. All the poly people will recognize Ticket to Ride. Also, the constant texting is very poly.
So
you're always answering.
Sort of show her as like kind of checked out.
Yes, checked out. Not really being very, I don't know, conscious of like family time. Like that's,
yeah.
I don't know, kind of shitty. And it happens. And obviously, she's a big shot in her at her work, so it might not be even all that weird for her to be texting or having her phone out all the time. But I mean, there's been friction in a lot of my relationships with like how much phone usage and when. It's especially, again, when you're new, it's all so exciting and shiny and fun. And especially these folks who have been married for what I think is like some 15, 16 years or yeah, tons of time, and they haven't been able to flirt and date and meet new people. And so it's so exciting that it's like, and so intoxicating, you forget about all this other stuff going on and everything
right.
else kind of goes to the side.
Well, and that is, I think, very interesting about this, but also very true to life, like that, the texting, the distraction, the, like, it's very real life.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing.
Talk about that. Can we do that?
Yeah. What?
Can we hit pause?
Because
I think that's
sure.
thing.
Sure. Let's pause here. I'm at 7:38.
All right. I paused at 7:37, but
I can put it back. That's okay. Mm-hmm.
Or I'll count down and then you can do like 1 second. Later. Anyway, I think the I don't want to sit at home while you're out on a date is a really big thing for nesting couples.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think it's something that almost is like dooms you because life is not that tidy.
Right.
Like,
and it's keeping score. If you're going out, then I'm going out. If you're going to have a good time, then I have to have a good time. And it's not leaving space for being alone ever, being comfortable being alone.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, if you want to set up a situation where, yes, we each have a go out and do our own thing every Thursday or whatever, like, that's fine. Like, that's a way to organize life. You get a sitter for Thursdays, you both go do your own thing on Thursdays, whatever. But you have to accept that sometimes, like, one person might be on a date and one person might not be on a date. Or mm-hmm. if keep your childcare costs down, which I think is a lot more like what normal people have to figure out. Like, that is one moment of this show that I'm like, really? You know, okay, I'm going to go out on Monday nights and you're going to go out on Thursday nights. And like, each of us has a night that is ours where we can go and do a thing. But again, it's not going to be like, you can only go out on Monday nights if I have a date on Thursday. Like, mm-hmm. It means that that's your day to go out on dates or to go take yourself to the movies or to go hang out with your friends or to go sit in a bookstore and, you know, like whatever you enjoy doing, you know, in a non-pandemic universe, you should have some time to be able to do that. And I think that that's really healthy for a relationship where each person gets to build in time to be themselves. But I think the idea that, and it's all going to happen on a perfect schedule where I'm never going to sit at home while you're on a date, is an unrealistic expectation that is going to lead to disappointment and frustration and jealous feelings and fear. And it's just setting yourself up to fail.
It totally is. I can sympathize with the very first date that your partner's going on in a newly opened couple. I could see how that would be too tough to just sit and be alone with your own thoughts. And I think that's kind of how it starts. It's like, oh, I don't want to be alone here with myself or with my kids, you know, because that's also kind of tough. You're like, oh, great. Now I'm the, you know, I'm the parent and they're off having fun and they don't have to parent right now. That could really be sucky. So I could totally understand in the beginning how you would want a distraction or you'd want a something to busy yourself, whatever. But with time, I think people figure out that one, it is incredibly expensive to always have a babysitter whenever you guys want to have a date. And two, even just scheduling. I mean, two people's schedule is enough. And then when you're saying like, oh, well, you're going to go on a date on Thursday. Well, I have to find a date on Thursday. Good luck. You know, like maybe you'll find someone. Maybe they work night shifts. Maybe they, you know, like have an early morning on Friday. You know, it's really hard to try to work out everyone's schedule. And if you're also dating other poly people, they might have other obligations and dates and family and friends and all this other stuff. So it's like even more hard. I know I have a poly friend who's like, if you want to schedule a date with me, it's got to be like 2 weeks in advance or it's not happening because I'm too busy, you know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people we know were sort of in the before times. Like, COVID has changed things because all of our dating is different to the extent it's happening at all. And that constant busyness and stuff to do is not the same as it was, but it's still a logistical challenge. Even mm-hmm. if you've got, you know, every advantage in the world, the idea that it's always going to work out to have dates on the same nights as your partners is unrealistic.
It's just unrealistic. Yeah, exactly.
All right. I'm going to count
another countdown.
Again, we're at 7:37 on mine, and Lindsay's at 7:38, so we're going to see if we can line this up here. 3, 2, 1, I'm going, you're going.
Something we didn't really mention was them talking about their crushes and their flirting in bed before and how they were turned on by that. I think it's actually really common in couples. I'm not quite sure why we haven't talked about it, maybe because it's kind of taboo or weird or something, but I feel like it's actually probably more common than you would assume that a lot of couples will talk about their dates and the people they're flirting with and their crushes, and it can be really exciting for the other person. Especially if then they have and feel a lot of compersion. I feel like sometimes that's even a turn on for the other person to hear about how
much fun their
partner is having.
Yeah, and that's not limited to nesting partners by any stretch of mm-hmm. the imagination. Like, my girlfriend and I often talk about, you know, things that we miss about the life before, including dates and people who we find attractive and people who we would like to one day perhaps get to maybe make out with and, you know, things like totally. That. And it's super fun.
Yeah.
And hot.
Yeah, I think for some people it can really add like this. I don't want to say spice up your marriage because that could be, that's an awkward thing. I don't know. But like, but it does add this like different spice to what could be a bland sex life for people who have been together for almost 20 years.
Right. And,
yeah. 100 years.
I like her awkwardness. That part feels really real.
Oh, for sure. I feel like awkward energy is the like sixth poly love language. And even that, like, oh, the stranger is flirting with me, and oh, weird, I actually kind of can flirt back. Like, it's right. A new thing, you know, and it's like, well, not that monogamous people can't flirt. I hate the idea that monogamous people couldn't flirt, especially if it was, like, innocent and totally right. harmless.
It's definitely a sort of different dynamic to it.
Yeah. There's possibility, whereas maybe there wasn't before.
Mm-hmm. And his awkwardness is different from her awkwardness, which also feels really truthful.
Yeah, he sounds like he's coming out and saying that he has cancer.
Right.
You know, like, he looks so, I don't know, yeah. freaked out and maybe ashamed. And
like, what are they going to think? I don't want them to worry, but maybe I do.
This is night one. Oh my god, yeah, we've been together for a really, really long time, and she's my best friend, she's my partner, she's the mother of my children. I think we're fucking kick-ass parents together.
We have a life. He sounds a little defensive about all that.
He is definitely the lady doth protest too much, maybe. he's saying a lot.
It's so great.
Yeah. It's the best thing. There's no trouble whatsoever. There's nothing wrong.
Right. Yes. Awkward. Go walk your cat and come back for sure.
Walk the cat.
That's literally the line. That's so funny.
Cheers. Yeah. Holy shit. You move. What do you mean? What are you gonna do? I'm gonna probably have one beer with you and then go home and relieve the babysitter and maybe text Amy. No.
I kind of like how the friend is like trying to manipulate things. Not in a bad way, but like in
a good wingman kind of way. Yeah. Amy is the friend that just left.
Yep.
I'm going to write these names down. That's what happens with poly relationships. There's always so many fucking names. Andy, Kyle, Amy,
Justin.
Justin.
That would have been my question. Like, seriously? Yeah. That's a thing?
I have so many friends who are professional massage therapists, so they're like, don't even talk about sex work. This is not sex work. I am pro sex work, but this is not sex work. And I'm like, right. Yep.
And I think that's
I get
fair.
It. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But when I think about like happy ending, like sex work massages, I'm like, oh, that's not a thing. People are professionals. Don't ever even think about that. But I'm like, oh, no, it's a thing. Like, sex work exists and is real and it happens. So.
And it seems reasonable that there would be people who want sort of plausible deniability in their sex work, where that's sort of right there in that not quite gray area.
Right. I could also see as someone who's in a non-monogamous relationship trying sex work out as a way of testing the waters to see how they, because I think it's like less high stakes, lower stakes, because right. You don't have to, you're not going to date that person. They are not right. Your date. You know, they're just a potential fun time.
That this is going to be a relationship.
Right. And actually, when I was putting this episode on, I saw that the next episode is about a sex worker, and it's really good. I highly recommend it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a fun episode.
Their story arc, but the next episode.
It is not. Yeah, it has nothing to do with them, but it's just the next episode in the lineup. And I was like, oh, that was a fun one. It was. It's definitely a not safe for work episode, but it was definitely a fun one.
This show is pretty not safe for work.
Really. Nothing is. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's real realistic. Like, I mean, going home with a stranger might not necessarily be everyone's thing or anyone's reality, but calling your husband or calling your partner to be like, hey, I'm going to be leaving this bar with someone and going to their house, and I don't know if they're going to axe murder me. Like, just going to give you a heads up. Like, that's such a common call to make.
Right.
And a responsible call to make.
This is where I'm
offering
you for
$50.
Oh, so clinical. It'll be really quick.
I'm married, so. The other half is married, so it's not a big deal. Really? Uh-huh. Hey, no, I don't think so. Sorry.
You sure?
Yeah.
She's like, bummed. Oh man, that's $50. It would have been really, really easy.
It's, you know, money. Like,
yeah, that's... yeah. I hope he tipped her well.
So too. Probably not the whole $50 though.
Probably not. But that it's so funny because that is kind of why he went there. He didn't go for a massage.
No, but like, he's awkward and uncertain enough about it that when it wasn't completely, when it wasn't sexy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It was not sexy. She's just like, meh.
Okay, so for another
and really, bucks. I think yeah. he wants to be with Amy or his wife. You know, either way, but he like doesn't want to. He doesn't probably want something that's just a stranger.
Right. Especially a stranger who is so clinical about it.
Right. But I think that's kind of the difference between Andy and Kyle is that, like, he wants a committed polyamorous relationship. And it seems that she's more into, like, sexual components and sexual relationships.
Oh, Amy's inviting him over. Andy's having sex on somebody's table. Guy has a really nice apartment.
I know. I was just going to say, he is so attractive. And then I was like, wow, his house is really attractive, too.
That's really, it's very, a lot of action going on there. More than you see on a lot of kinds of television.
Yeah, I feel like Netflix doesn't really have to, answer to anyone. They do what they want.
It's true. After our last episode, I went and I like watched like 5 minutes of like 10 different things to scoot this out of the... when you open Netflix, be on the landing page, because my daughter and I watched a lot of stuff together. Yeah. And I think I must have failed because she was like, Mom, we should make a new Netflix account for stuff that we watch together.
Mm,
I was like, yep. What a Maybe. Good idea.
Yeah, we have like 5 different Netflix accounts.
Yeah.
That's because I don't want a 3-year-old's Netflix preferences to screw up mine.
There's only so much cartoon that you can handle. Oh, here we go. The start of actual relationship romance. It's interesting how they're shooting these so differently.
Totally.
Like, this is slower and more awkward and more lighting and...
kind of soft, like, like slower, more maybe like cute, sensual, instead of like...
Right, hot.
Yeah, hot, yeah.
Right, like they are fucking, but they are not.
And they're not looking at each other. It's like no eye contact. It's not fun playfulness. Fun.
Right, like it might be hot, but it's not intimate.
And I mean, good for them. No judgment.
Yeah, I mean, there's no judgment in what I'm saying. It's just a really different way of relationships. He was pretty good at that, though.
Well, I think if someone's been married for a couple, you know, over a decade, they've probably taken off a bra or two. I would hope.
Liar. Well, that was something of a negotiation.
Yes.
Maybe more words would have been helpful, but, you know.
I also think that those kind of negotiations will also determine what you consider sex. Because if he's going down on her right now, which I think he might be, like...
Yeah, it looks like that's
sex, dude. That's sex. Like, oh, I don't want to have sex with you tonight. Can we do other things?
Sex. It's still sex.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and she's going to go down on him, too? Like, that... It's sex. That's sex.
Sex. Yes.
Oh, okay. So she doesn't actually do that.
Well, it seems like maybe he wasn't ready. Which is so interesting, the way they've sort of flipped the stereotypes on there. Like, in this whole storyline, Andy is far more sexually aggressive and more interested in getting off, and Kyle is a little bit more, let's slow down, I don't know if I'm in the mood, I need to feel close to you first. And those are, again, like, I don't want to invalidate either way of being, but they are stereotypically associated differently with gender,
opposite gender. Yeah, absolutely. He's like, I want to cuddle, and she's like, I want fuck. Yeah. And yeah, that is, it's, but what's funny is that just in being in the poly community, it's really common for women to be like, I want to fuck. Especially, I think, I mean, some women hit their prime of, like, sexual prowess. I don't know, is that, that's probably not the right word, but either way, like, interest. Sexual activity and interest in their 40s. And so, and that's also when testosterone in men maybe start to decrease, and maybe they're more interested in the, like, sexy cuddle time instead of the sexy fuck you against the wall kind. So yeah, so it is common, yeah. Actually, the perception is the opposite, but I think that the reality is that it's pretty common.
I think that's probably true. All of them sleep in a lot of clothes.
I know, right? I don't know if maybe that is, like, kind of just normal for people with kids, maybe, or, I don't know, Chicago, cold winter nights or whatever. I don't know, I'm kind of the type to just be like, I'm not going to sleep in anything ever because it's annoying, but I do understand them having kids.
Right. Right, but the actor friend didn't have kids, and they got in bed fully, or mostly clothed.
Yeah. Her grimace.
Like, she can't seem to quite figure out how she feels about it.
Yeah, he took that well. Like, I gotta say, as someone who's been poly for 13 years, I wouldn't have taken that as well. You know?
But he did turn around and say, I made out with my friend Amy.
No, I did not. And they both were pretty coy about what they did and to what extent. And I mean, obviously, I think that, like, he does come out and talk about it. But, yeah, it, again, like, the open and honest communication is a goal and the ideal. But so often that is really hard to develop. It's really hard to get comfortable with.
And I think that in some ways it's actually probably harder in a really long established marriage because you have patterns that are harder to break than a pattern that might not be, you know, 15 years in the making.
Yeah. This is reminding me a little bit. There's actually another Netflix show, which I don't know if I'd suggest or not. I didn't finish it, called Wanderlust. And
I think I saw that, but it didn't draw me in.
Toni Collette is the wife, and her husband I recognize, but I don't know his name. And they also, I mean, very similar story. They're opening up their relationship. They're dating new people. It just got real dark and sad. And I didn't, like, the first couple episodes, I was like, hell yeah, this is it. This is a poly relationship. This is what's happening. And it's really realistic. And then it just got really dark. And I was like, oh man, this isn't fun anymore. I don't want to watch this. So it is probably really good. And Toni Collette is amazing. But I was just, it was just kind of a bummer. So I couldn't finish it. But similar to this, there's a very clear and obvious disconnect on, like, one person's maybe more interested in sex, one person's more interested in romance. And how do you work that out? And yeah, so I'm excited to see how this couple deals with it, because I do think it is so common. It's so common.
I think that is really true. And I think it's a real challenge, even if you're close to on the same page. You know, people are just different people, and where you are right now might not be where you are a year from now or a year ago. And figuring out how to make sure that everybody feels, you know, respected and taken care of and loved while you're exploring these different things, that's a challenge.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're, like, tantalized by your partner doing something and then wake up the next day and the harsh reality hits you and you're like, ooh, maybe we need to talk about safe sex practices. Maybe we need to talk about getting tested. All those things, which they haven't even broached on the show yet. I feel like that puts it into a different light and then might not be as sexy, fun, tantalizing anymore. I want to see how they deal with that.
Hooking up with strangers, then your risk profile is going to be really different than mm-hmm. if you are in a monogamous marriage and then you have one other person with whom you have a also kind of monogamous relationship. So that's a really different risk profile than I go to bars on the weekends and go home with strangers.
Totally. And I mean, I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention. I don't know if they showed a condom wrapper or, like, a condom being put. I don't think they showed they didn't show a condom put on, obviously, and they didn't show any actual, like, penetration or sex. It's not or actual, like, physical right. sex. So maybe there was no way to show that. But,
well, you could have shown a condom wrapper, or you could have shown them.
Yeah.
You know, you could have shown her saying, like, do you have, and him
right.
like open a drawer, you know, like there's a lot of ways you could do that in a visual.
And there was none of it.
No.
So that's awkward. And I don't think they ever addressed that of just like, what risks are being had here? I mean, and granted, he went down on Amy and
right.
there was
right.
no safety measures taken there or
though
discussion.
She said it's been a really long time, you know, and, you know, for a long time, it used to be intentional and then it wasn't intentional. So there was an implication, at least, that she hadn't had sex with anybody else in an extended period of time,
sure,
which
sure. Yeah.
isn't inherently safe, but is at least suggestive that she probably doesn't have any STIs.
And she hasn't probably had, like, or she's, you know, been tested in the meantime or potentially.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do think that it's a pretty common thing in poly communities to, like, one, not count oral sex as sex, and two, consider oral sex completely safe all the time, which, you know, to some extent it is safer, absolutely, but 100% safe it is not. So I wonder if, you know, even saying like, well, we're not gonna have sex tonight, here, let me bury my head in your lap, like,
I wonder those things are like, okay, well, let's just elaborate on this a little bit. Like, we're not gonna have sex tonight, okay, so we're not gonna have like penetration sex, mm-hmm. like, can we still do other stuff? I found that line, like, it was sort of a cute, real-seeming line, but it also kind of suggested, like, the implication to me wasn't, can I go down on you? It was more like, can we lay here and cuddle and, you mm-hmm. know, maybe have some sexual play with our kissing, but probably not, like, people actually having orgasms and people's genitalia being exposed.
Right. Because I mean, and as someone who obviously I like to have those conversations of like what both people want sexually before any sex happens. But if I told someone I'm not interested in sex tonight and then they went to go down on me, I would consider that a huge violation and a huge red flag. And I'd be like, hey, what the actual fuck? Like, I literally
I'm
just
sorry,
said.
Were you not listening?
Yeah.
Said that. Yeah, exactly. And right. It's a really ambiguous turn of phrase. Like, mm-hmm. can we do other stuff?
Right.
Sure. What other stuff were you thinking of?
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard to expand that conversation in a meaningful way.
And I do think that we should definitely maybe even dedicate an episode to the safer sex talk kind of thing, the elevator speech. I mean, in an ideal world, I would love to have Reed Mihalko on the show to talk about his elevator speech and his safer sex talk, because I think he was a big pioneer in the like sex education field when it came to that. That might be a bit of a pipe dream. I don't know. Maybe not.
Nothing to lose by asking.
That's very true.
But it's worthwhile episode and conversation to have with or without him.
Yes. There's a lot to say there. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to safer sex practices. And then just even like, you know, none of us want to be stigmatizing of people with STIs. That's the last thing I ever want to do. But I also think it's really important to have those conversations so you know what you're in for. You know?
Well, that's it. I think that's where you can sort of practice having conversations about like, hey, here are some things we can definitely do. You know, like that would be super fun. And because, you know, of whatever STI status somebody might have or something else, you know, maybe let's not do XYZ at this point in time, but we can certainly do A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but having those kinds of like, it still can be fun. It still can be sexy. You can still have sex. You mm-hmm. just have to know what the definition of sex is.
Right. You can have completely amazing sex. I mean, well, one, without the person ever even being in the same room, but two, without having like PIV sex or penetrative sex in any way. There are a lot of options.
Very, 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 very low risk sex, even with another person right there touching you.
Yes.
So thank you for doing this fun, different kind of episode. And listeners, we hope that you enjoyed it too. And if you want to be interviewed, reach out. We're also still very happy to continue to talk with people on Zoom or Skype or FaceTime video or whatever format works for you. Otherwise, stay tuned and we'll do episode 3 of our series of The Easy Watch sometime soon.
Yeah. All right.
Have a good night. You too. Bye.
Bye.
And that is it from us at Polyamory Uncensored. We have been Lindsay Miller.
And Katie Williams.
We'd like to thank podcast husband Rob for being our sound engineer.
And thank you, Lindsay, for editing this podcast so that we sound smart.
You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Polyamory Uncensored.
Contact us at polyamoryuncensored@gmail.com if you have a listener question or a comment.
And if you'd like to support us at all, you can send us a monthly contribution at anchor.fm/polyamoryuncensored and simply click on the Support This Podcast button.
If you'd like to support the podcast with a one-time contribution, we've set up a PayPal link to make it super easy.
thank you for your support in any amount at paypal.me/polyamoryuncensored.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and remember,
we love you. Bye.